This episode is brought to you in part by the new MDiv from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The strongest MDiv just got stronger. Southern Seminary introduced a new Master of Divinity degree in order to train, educate, and prepare students for a lifetime of faithfulness with even greater effectiveness. The benefits to students are greater personalization, increased specialization, and the opportunity to earn more credentials in an efficient amount of time. MDiv students who attend classes on Southern's campus pay for only their first 9 hours each semester and take one or two additional courses for free. That reduces the cost of the Southern Seminary MDiv by thousands of dollars. Discover how you can benefit from the new Southern MDiv that is simplified, personalized, and incentivized at sbts.edu/newmdiv. Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Our goal is to help Christians understand the truth of Romans 15:14, that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Solomon.
And I'm Lakin Liu, your other host. Be sure to check out other resources from the BCC at biblicalcc.org.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of 1514. As always, we are super thankful to have you as part of our audience. So, Lakin, great to have you in studio with me again today. So, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, the semester is wrapping up. And so that also means that my role with Boyce College in the Student Life Office will be wrapping up soon. And that's just, due to, thankfully, and this is like a bittersweet thing, but mostly sweet, of just, becoming a mom. And I'm, 26 weeks pregnant today. And so, we're in kind of almost the home stretch for it. So.
Yeah, I was excited, obviously, when I heard a while ago. We haven't shared it with our audience. And we're thankful that you plan to hang out and still be a co-host with us here on 1514.
Yes. It was something that, my husband and a lot of other people that I've talked to about, that this is something that I would love to still continue to do and help out in ways that maybe I couldn't before. So,
yeah. Well, we're really thankful and excited and feel very honored because you're quitting all your other jobs, but sticking with us. So thanks for that. And for our audience, they can be praying for you. And we're really excited to see how the Lord continues to grow your family. Well, we just wrapped up a really interesting interview, one that was, as you highlighted, different than many of our other interviews. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was something that these type of interviews are so helpful for me to hear and to like expand and broaden my viewpoint of like how and who to give care to. And so we got to hear from Paul and how he was transformed by this by the Lord through this ministry of Cadence International, and then getting to see like how he's now helping and being instrument to transform others. And so that was just neat to be like, oh, here is how we can care for military members and families, and it be something very tangible that we can come alongside in.
Yeah, I was excited to do the interview because Cadence is not in and of itself like a specific biblical counseling ministry, but it's something that I think our audience will agree can get a heart for and come right alongside and use the gifting and the calling and the practice of biblical counseling with a ministry like this. Or, you know, I would love some of our audience members to become Cadence missionaries where they're going and running a hospitality house near a military base, or just people coming alongside people in their community who are serving in the armed forces. And I was also super excited about his role specifically with foreign military ministry and getting to hear about that. So audience, buckle your seatbelts. It's a little bit longer today, but it's a good episode.
Yeah, no, it's great. They're doing things that we already as Christians do with other believers, and now it's just directed towards the military kids and families. And so getting to do that and twist a little bit to cater and care for them.
Yeah, I'm excited. And we are thankful for you, audience, and excited for you to hear. Hope you enjoy it. So, Paul Bradley, thanks so much for being with us on 1514. Could you introduce yourself to our audience?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. My name is Paul Bradley, and I'm married. I have three kids that are all grown and out of the house. I'm a former military guy. I was in the United States Seabees, which is the combat construction version of the Navy. And I did that for 6 years and actually became a Christian during that time. through a Navy chaplain. And then, then I ended up doing youth ministry and wanting to get a degree. And so they told me to do that, I had to go to a college, you know, so I'm 6 years out of college and I went to the master's university and got my degree in theology and youth ministry. And then, I've been working with this organization ever since, called Cadence International. And Cadence is a organization that works primarily with military around the world, both U.S. and foreign.
Well, that's great. So tell our audience, for those who are, expound a little bit more on Cadence and what the mission is, because some I'm sure know about it and others it may be the first time. I think Lakin didn't even know what Cadence meant. And I tried to explain. Right. Could you explain to her the etymology of this?
Yes, of course. So for those of you in the military, you're going to laugh because it's what we call out while we're marching. It's a cadence to keep everybody in step. And so Cadence means exactly that. It's our mission to be in step with the military and primarily supporting the chapel programs that the military has. So that's where the etymology of the name comes from. And it started over 70 years ago now by a guy who was in the Army. And he was in Japan during World War II. The Philippines while he was in World War II. And he got captured when the Japanese took the Philippines, and he was part of the an event called the Bataan Death March, where they had marched a bunch of soldiers from one place, and a lot of guys died. It's a very famous. You can go ahead and Google it if you want. He was a part of that, and then ended up spending 3.5 years in Japanese prison camps. And survived that. The thing that he says that caused him to survive that, there was a family at the military, the army base there in the Philippines, that had opened their house up to the soldiers that were stationed there. And it was a Christian couple, and they had home cooked meals and Bible studies, and the guys could spend the night if they want. They had some bunk houses. And he swore that, and he believes that pouring into him really helped him survive those 3.5 years. So he made one of those promises to God, you know, in those desperate moments. God, if I can get out of here, I will do this and dedicate my life to this ministry. It meant so much to him. And he survived, and he started Cadence International like over 70 years ago. And so that is the beginnings of our organization.
So you went from youth ministry and then getting into Cadence. Can you tell us a little bit about that transition and how you got involved?
So my dad was a military guy. So I grew up all over the world. So not only was I a military guy, my dad was also a 23-year Navy pilot. And so I grew up all over the world. I don't really have a home, as most military kids don't. So I felt when I got introduced to Cadence and I saw that the Cadence was doing specifically youth ministry to American military kids, I was like, wow, I didn't hear about Jesus till I was 21, you know? So where were those workers? Where were those people focusing on military kids? And so it really laid up on my heart. And so that's how I got into the youth ministry side of it. And then, you know, you get older. We did that for a number of years. We started out in England and then Germany. And then you get a little older and junior hires aren't as tolerable anymore. I love junior hires still, but I just wasn't that guy anymore. And felt a real call towards more adult ministry because I was already non-traditional student, you know, so a little bit older. And I transitioned over onto the adult side of things at Cadence. So became a part of our headquarters team. I was the director of operations. But my caveat to answer that call was I had to be involved in some other, you know, field ministry. So I didn't go crazy behind a desk because that's kind of not me. I'm not a desk guy. So they said, okay. And so I chose the foreign military side of what Cadence does. So I started going to the Philippines because that's where it started cross-culturally. And my boss saw that every time I left and came back, a piece of my heart was missing. It was left in the Philippines. So he finally just said, hey, I got to figure out how to get you out of here. So that was my transition. I didn't really transition into adult ministry. I transitioned into the, it was adult ministry, but to cross-cultural ministry. So we moved our family to Thailand in 2006, I believe, and we were there for 13 years.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I'm not sure, having done youth ministry for a while, if the junior, we get tired of the junior hires, or they get tired of us, or if it's mutual. Well, that's really great. So you mentioned a couple avenues that Cadence has, the youth component, where they're actually, and that was my first introduction to Cadence, was seeing them actually reach out actively to the youth of military personnel who are on a base. Like, how do we care for these people who really, you've heard, I don't know if you've heard people talk about third culture kids, kind of kids of missionary kids, and military kids are definitely that, because they don't feel like they actually belong in the military, because they're not. They don't feel like they belong in whatever home state their parents grew up in, because that's not where they grew up. And so it has some unique challenges to it, which we could probably talk about that for a whole nother podcast. But besides the youth outreach and the foreign ministry military outreach, what are some of the other avenues that Cadence uses to minister to the military community?
Yeah, what we discovered was that early on, the bread and butter of Cadence, and really still the bread and butter of Cadence, is the hospitality style ministry, so the open home ministry. And we still do that quite a bit, both abroad and at home in CONUS, continental United States. And
for all the non-military people out there, that is what that means.
I can never get that out of my system, with it. That is our primary bread and butters, these home away from homes. But really we invested into the military community. So we said, okay, well, what other places can we help? So youth ministry grew out of that. What about the kids? And then there's kids ministry. We actually do for youngers even that way. And then singles, we've got, lots of workers who are just focusing on singles work. They're single themselves. And so they do that kind of ministry, usually alongside a hospitality house at a location. And then their youth ministry is still going strong. And then the foreign stuff, which I'm the director of.
So with the hospitality house, explain that to our audience a little bit. What does that look like? How does it function? And where can you find them?
Yeah, we find a home outside major military installations. And we try to make it close enough to base where guys could either walk or have a short, commute to get out to the house. But it's a family. It's an open home family. People are just living life as a family. Our missionaries have kids, and the kids are involved in it. But it's usually a Friday night or a midweek Bible study and a meal that's everyone kind of pitches in, and then there'll be a meal, and then there'll be a study. There's often worship that goes on as well, and then individual discipleship during the week with different soldiers or families. And then they organize trips and do conferences and retreats. So that's kind of what the hospitality house style ministry looks like. Very discipleship oriented.
Yeah, no, that's really great. And I remember being, even in basic training, there was a church that came, it wasn't connected with Cadence, but they would come to the training base, pick up buses of students trainees, take them to their church, provide a free meal, let them go to church, all that kind of stuff. And there's a strength to it that is different than the chaplaincy. I love chaplains. I have a lot of friends who are chaplains, but sometimes troops will get in their mind like this: the chaplain's getting paid, like he's part of the machine, and they're more open maybe to talk to somebody who's not part of the machine in a sense. And Cadence fits that. There's just a great avenue for ministry there. So how does it differ from, well, I think you probably explained how it differs from, but how does it kind of work in conjunction with or support the chaplains and what they're doing on base?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, our heart, Cadence's heart, is to extend the ministry of the chaplaincy program. And so we're very, very connected to the chapel program. We, our hospitality house directors, attend the local chapel on base and support it that way, as well as trying to really the extension of a chaplain. As you know, sometimes units have one chaplain. That's it for like a lot of people. So can you imagine trying to give care? Oh, that's a lot of responsibility on one person. And so because we are like-minded with the chapels and our hearts and desire to minister, that we build that trust with them. And then they end up supporting us. We have chaplains that come out to the hospitality houses. We have that reputation as an organization that we are not in competition with them in any way, shape, or form, but we really are seeking to extend their mission and their ministry opportunities. So that's how that works. And even our youth ministers, when I was doing youth ministry, I was like a chap. I always described myself as a youth pastor on a chapel staff because I had an office in the chapel.
Oh,
and
wow.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's we really work closely with the chapel program, and we love chaplains. You know, I was led to Jesus by a Navy chaplain. So
yeah, amen, amen to that.
How does Cadence support the work of local churches near military installations?
Yeah, so it's a great question too. Overseas, there are often not any local churches available, so our houses end up becoming church body like. There's a lot of body life. We're not churches. We don't pretend to be a church. But there's a lot of church activity that goes on in body life that happens in our hospitality houses. So overseas, that looks more like that. Whereas in the States where there are local churches, we try to train and teach local churches, you know, to speak military. so we'll work with local churches in helping them reach out to the military. We'll often provide a place for local churches to use our facilities, even like in Bremerton right now. We've got a really good example of that, where there are several churches that are sending their military folks to our hospitality house there at Bremerton. So we try when we can to work with local churches as much as possible, because we realize we're not a church and they need that extension of body that's under elders and all of that. So we're trying to do that as much as possible where it makes sense.
No, that's really great. We kind of skipped around in the questions I sent you, but your specific role is the Vice President of Affiliate and Foreign Military Ministries. Can you explain a little bit more of that? And then you just got back from a really cool trip I want to hear about. So tell us about the ministry, your role specifically in that aspect of Cadence, and then go into the trip to Ukraine.
Yeah, people are always like, what are affiliate ministries, you know? So it's kind of a catch-all, because there are a lot of things that need some leadership. So I'm on the executive leadership team at Cadence. I'm a vice president there. And because there are multiple things that need to be taken care of, a couple of other various things got thrown into my care. So the affiliate part of what we do is we have an ambassador group, which is our retired missionaries that are being cared for later on in life. And so I oversee that ministry. We've got some great directors that actually go and visit our folks and make sure they're okay and have what they need. So we're trying to, you know, long-term care for those folks. I oversee that. I also oversee our Cadence facilities, which we own 15 different homes or facilities around the world. And as you can imagine, that's like a full-time job for, you know, property management systems, you know, and people, they do that full-time. So there's all the insurance and the repairs and all that. And with my construction background, they go, hey, that makes sense for you. So I'm overseeing all of that as well. So yeah, those are the affiliate pieces that I oversee. And then the foreign military ministry is a little bit obvious. So that looks a little bit different now that I don't live in Thailand. When we lived in Thailand, I was traveling a lot in Southeast Asia. So Southeast Asia, Chiang Mai, Thailand is where we lived. And we chose that as a headquarters because of its centrality to that part of the world. Mm-hmm. If you take a 3-hour plane flight from Chiang Mai out and stop, and then on a map draw a circle. A third of the world's population lives in that bubble.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, it's India and some of China and all that. So I was working with foreign military Christians, and we would, most of those organizations don't, most of those units don't have Christians in them. It's a very, very, very minor group of people. They don't have a chaplain program. And so we poured into, I would reach out and pour into these believers who are in the Thai military, Cambodia military, Indonesia, India, Taiwan, Vietnam. Boy, where else did we go? A lot, that whole region.
Yeah.
And find leaders and raise them up and help them network together for mutual care and encouragement. So kind of a volunteer chaplain program, if you want to try to put it into context a little bit. And then we try to stand those things up or get them going and support them from the outside and then let them do their thing, believing that they know their people better than we do. And if we just give the tools and we'll see how that expresses itself in their culture. So that I did a lot of coaching and a lot of teaching and a lot of discipleship for foreign believers. And then this is a little bit of a side note. I'm also a chaplain with the organization called the Free Burma Rangers.
Yeah.
I do that. I'm on the board of directors for FBR. And FBR specifically works inside of Burma. And I started the chaplain program for the, it's the resistance groups that are fighting against the dictatorship in Burma. It's the longest running civil war in history right now. Since World War II, they've had conflict in that country, and it's some of the worst fighting right at the moment since World War II. It's very, very bad. And so we, the Free Burma Rangers is a relief organization, trains relief teams to respond to these crimes against humanity and these horrible things that are happening, that, that crimes are being committed against the ethnic people in Burma. And so we been working with them for a very long time, which got me into going to these other overseas places. So I ended up in Iraq and Kurdistan and Syria. I was in Syria in November with the Free Burma Rangers, and right before that with there's a partnership now because Cadence and the Free Burma Rangers are doing things together. We have a mutual agreement. I'm myself and just one other guy have been doing the work, but it's taken us to some other crazy places. And FBR stands in that humanitarian gap between the front lines and where they can get care in the back.
Yeah. So some of our audience may have heard of or picked up on Free Burma Rangers, also sometimes called Free Mountain Rangers in different contexts, if I'm remembering correctly. And there was a time where their founder, a few years ago, I think during the Iraq War, was on CNN a lot because he ran out from behind a tank and rescued a girl and brought her back and said that. So for our audience, I have a little context. They're going into all these different places and, like you said, helping with the relief, not just in Burma, but they're primarily based there and stuff. So you may have heard of them even though you didn't know. So there you go.
Right, exactly. And you can always look it up. You know, there's actually a movie, a documentary that was done on the movie. I'm just finishing up a discussion guide follow-up for that. That should be coming out really soon. Has some bonus footage also. So that movie, I have like some cameo appearances in that movie. You have to kind of look, you know, quickly. But I was there. I left the day before the tank rescue happened in Mosul. So that was in Mosul or Nineveh for the rest of the biblical scholars in the world. So it's kind of cool running around Nineveh, you know, but it was also really super dangerous, as you can see in the movie and might know. But in those moments of desperation, you may have experienced when life throws us into desperation, Jesus often shows up in more clear ways than he ever does in any other place. There's a sacredness to suffering and turmoil. So we find ourselves in that position quite a bit.
Pardon me while I interrupt this episode for a special word from one of our sponsors. Are you passionate about biblical counseling and discipleship? Don't miss IBCD's annual Summer Institute Conference, June 20th through the 22nd, featuring inspiring speakers like Dr. Charles Hodges, Dave Harvey, Tim St. John, and yours truly. The pre-conference theme is Biblical Counseling in Modern Medicine, Considering the Role of Doctors, Medications, and Marijuana. The main conference theme is Life Together, Nurturing Relationships for Eternal Purposes. The event will be in sunny California at New Life Presbyterian Church in La Mesa. Can't attend in person? Get your virtual ticket with live-streamed and downloadable sessions included. Find the link to register at ibcd.org/events. Their mid-rate pricing ends April 30th, so hurry and snag this discount and others. See you there. Mm. So, well, I think it's your turn to ask questions.
That's right. I do. So I was wondering about, you kind of talked about when Cadence works with local churches, there's kind of a pitch that you give. And it's funny because I feel like here in like my little realm and bubble, like we give pitches to churches for biblical counseling. And so I thought like, oh, I would love to hear kind of your pitch on why churches and why people should hear more and care more for people who are in the military and their families. So I think that would be helpful for me to hear and for, yeah, the audience to hear as well.
Well, you don't have to do much Bible study at all to realize that there's significant players in the Bible that were all military people, right? And most of the New Testament was written under military occupation, right? So you got to remember that Israel and the Jews were under Roman occupation, which is military. So their whole context, the whole context of the New Testament is written, and you hear it through Paul's words, right? A lot. You hear all this military language because they understood this military context really well, and they were living it. And Jesus had great words to say about, of course, the centurion is the most famous one. You know, no faith have I found even in Israel, because he understood authority. And so that's one of the things that makes me, some of the heart comes through here sometimes. Military people know Jesus in a way that the civilian world doesn't have an opportunity to get often. And what I mean by that is this: they understand some of the main tenets of Christianity, whether they believe Jesus or not. Community is extremely important to them. Extremely important. It's almost everything. Laying your life down for your brother, being willing to sacrifice and lay your life down, that's a real possibility, not just, you know, in theory. Even though I really believe, and I want to emphasize this, you can do that emotionally, and you can do that with your heart too in the civilian world. But these guys really get that other piece in there. And they often have overseas experience, and they're not afraid to go try new things, right? So they have these key pieces of Christianity that are tight and built into them, into the DNA of who you are as a military person. And so when we talk about and introduce them to Jesus, and then the things that Jesus calls us to, you don't have to convince them that being a part of the body is important. You don't have to tell them that it takes their sacrifice to following and calling and following a calling. You don't have to teach them about that kind of stuff. And to on the go part of I send you into the world, they're like, send me. I do it all the time. Let's go. What's the big deal, right? So some of those, and maybe I'm a poster child for this, because I'm, you know, my dad was in the military and I grew up around the military. It's like, I love living overseas. I just love it. And so I think that, you know, giving that vision to churches to go, this is a huge resource for you. And you tap into this special group of people, because they can move and shake for the kingdom's sake in ways that people that don't have that experience don't often get.
Yeah, that's great. And having those home away from homes, the open home that you have set within the Cadence International, helps see where, yes, you have this military community, but then how you're able to live out a different type of community with believers. So totally. I think that's just, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have a number of friends who are former military who went into pastoral roles or into ministry roles and stuff like that. And there's mm-hmm. elements of leadership structure. Even one guy, he got a job because he did a parking lot brief. And the guys had never seen a brief done so organized and well and stuff. And it was just like, that's just what you did in the military. You know, you learn those things. So they're great assets to the body of Christ in so many ways. And like you said, and like we've highlighted, the opportunity for the church, because you said something really important, that community becomes almost everything to mm-hmm. these people. And there can be almost an elevation and idolatry of the community within the military sure. and helping them see true community. Because sometimes Paul, you know, like sometimes the stuff that goes on in those communities is not shining the light. It's mm-hmm. going right. deep into the darkness. But if you can help them see the community, the brotherhood, the real willing to lay down our lives for each other in the context of the local church, absolutely. They can get it and invest into it. They just get it because they're living it so much. And honestly, it's a super attractive thing for a lot of them too, to see that, like, oh yeah, I needed my camaraderie. I needed my brotherhood here, but that sometimes led me down some bad ways. Mm-hmm. And this place can be so much more redemptive. I guess I saved the best for last unintentionally. Maybe it's the best. Tell us about your recent trip to Ukraine.
Great. Yeah. So right now, as you know, the war in Ukraine has been going for almost about 2 years now. So we've done two trips there, and we were invited by a friend to consider going there and teaching about trauma. And the whole country, really, as you can imagine, this is all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine this in the United States. If we had a outside invader, everybody mm-hmm. would be involved. Everybody would be affected by the war. And so everybody's experiencing some level of trauma in this country, whether they know somebody, they've had family members already killed. They have people that are on the front lines. The average age of the soldier right now is 50 years old, which is kind of crazy to think about. Most people are well retired by that point in time, you know. But they don't know how to handle the trauma. They don't know how to deal with this. And so this is an ongoing, almost a critical need. Mm-hmm. And so we developed a program based on some training that we've gotten, as well as curating from a bunch of different other resources, both Christian and non-Christian, neurological and psychological, a real balance of the biblical side of those things, as well as figuring out what's happening actual in our bodies. That's actually science going on here with, you know, imagery and everything happening to our brains. Mm-hmm. And as I got into it, I just went, oh my gosh, this just makes so much sense based on my personal experiences and what I've seen actually on the field and how people are dealing with these issues. So one of the things, and again, Curtis, you would know more about this than maybe even than I do, but this designation of this blanket statement and of PTSD has often been helpful and not so helpful at times, mm-hmm. because the D part of PTS, post-traumatic stress, the D part is disorder. And when you label somebody with a disorder, it's more of a clinical diagnostic tool that doesn't really uncover the nuances of the different levels in the spectrum of stress and trauma that happens. And so it's become a block for especially military guys who are all, you know, the bad side of the community that you're talking about. It's like, I am not nothing. It's nothing, you know, it ain't nothing. It's not a thing, you know, I'm whatever. And if you show any kind of weakness, that could be a negative thing. And so when you talk about disorder, even in the American military right now, they put you into a hospital, they throw drugs at you, and that is changing. Thank God it's changing. Yep. So how do we help? So the question becomes, how do we help people realize that this is a common reaction? What you're feeling is a common reaction to a not so common incident, right? Or a series of incidents, you know, the nuances there. It doesn't have to be just one acute situation. Yep. It could actually be very complex and could be chronic in a sense that way. So what we've been doing in Ukraine is getting out to frontline troops and training this stuff for them, giving them some tools right at the moment of when it's happening. And so in order to do that, we have to go out to these units. And we've gotten through amazing invitations, been able to do quite a bit of it, as well as training some chaplains there as well, who are doing incredible ministry, but they're all brand new chaplains. There was no chaplain program 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So these are all brand new chaplains trying to understand the military themselves. What the U.S. military is doing is, and they're always great at acronyms, they're implementing a program called TEMS, T-E-M-S, which is Traumatic Experience Management Systems. Oh, sounds so personal. but at least they've got some recognition that things are happening, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're getting, and they're what they're realizing is if they can get soldiers to talk about what happened within 72 hours of the incident, the occurrences or reportedness, the reporting of the disorder, the PTSD goes down by like 70%, which is gigantic. I mean, think about that. So some of the new designations that they're coming up with is PTSI, they're calling it injury.
Yep.
And that sounds way more doable, right? I mean, this actually injured me in some way. And we don't have time to go into all the science about how your brain works and fragments the memories and protects yourself and blah, 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 all this other stuff that happens. But injury means you can recover from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a more, again, the language is starting to become, this is a common reaction. Your body is doing this for a reason. There's actual neurological things happening that have psychological implications, you know, in your life and the way you're feeling. So how can we mitigate that and deal with it in order to maintain force readiness? That's the language that the military is using. Yep. Mm-hmm. So what we were doing was giving them this 30,000 foot physiological overview about what's happening. And they're all shaking their heads because
they're living it. Yeah.
This was like yesterday, right? And even as we're training it, some of them are experiencing these feelings and they come up afterwards and just say, just you talking about this and explaining to this has really helped us.
Yeah.
So we give them this 30,000 foot overview, and then I just came up with this little card that has the word DART on it, and it's a tool that they can walk away with and say, okay, when an incident happens, just do DART. And D is discuss what happened, name names, talk about it. A lot of them already do an AAR or an after action report after a mission. So let's just add this on. If something happens, add this on. Discuss what happened, name names, who got hurt, talk about it. A part is acknowledge the hard stuff. Man, how are you feeling? I just saw so-and-so died. I made a decision that caused this guy to die. It was a bad decision. And helping them walk through that. The R part is receive care. So humility is involved in that. And knowing how to give care also is in that. So we give a little bit of tools for that. And then the T is trust. Trust each other, trust the process. So we're just trying to hand them some tools in order to do this. And then I've already taught at a seminary in Kyiv last October, this information. And then we just got back from doing it, more focusing on frontline troops on the Eastern Front.
Well, thanks for that work, and thanks for filling us in on it. With our audience being primarily biblical counselors, how might they be able to get involved with, support, come alongside, interact with Cadence and what you guys are doing?
Well, that's a great question. Sorry. And really, biblical counseling, when it comes down to it, is intentional life with people. Mm-hmm. With the biblical overlay of that, with that foundation of what we believe and know to be true about who God is and how God works in our lives, right? That's simple. Hospitality house ministry, you're doing it 24/7. You're involved in people's lives. So it maybe not, you don't hang a shingle out on the door that says biblical counselor, yep. But this is exactly what our folks are doing all the time. In fact, our key verse is 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Which says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. So in that verse, the gospel is very clear. We know what mm-hmm. that is. Well, hopefully everyone knows what that really is.
And I think most of our audience
The lives part is actually the Greek word psuche, which means spirit or breath, or it's more than just, hey, I'm hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. It's this deeper part of who we are. And I think that's where biblical counseling shines, because we're giving of ourselves and the truth at the same time in order to help people mm-hmm. in their struggles, in their, even I think biblical counseling doesn't even have to be for critical incidences. It's more along this, almost like discipleship at times where, yeah. So I can preach about that, but that's the where you can get involved is we need biblical counselors to be involved in these military communities. And because the chaplains are only limited, they can only do so much. Mm. And so it's a great place to live out your biblical counseling career is by jumping into the lives with people and being involved with them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think obviously an actual Cadence missionary would be a biblical counselor, could be a great, great one to run a hospitality home. But even if, like, if you live near a military installation and maybe you haven't had the courage to reach out yourself, or maybe you have, but find out if there's a Cadence contingent on base or near the base that you can partner with, come alongside, work with, that would be really great. Lakin, any other thoughts, questions before we wrap this up?
Oh, man. Yeah, what was some of the helpful care that both of you guys received, you know, as you were going through your times in the military and all of that?
Well, I became, like I said, I became a mm-hmm. Christian while I was in the military through a Navy chaplain, but I was discipled at a Cadence Hospitality House. Mm-hmm. So my very first a discipleship experience was in Rota, Spain, and at a hospitality house in Rota, Spain. And that's where I learned how to follow Jesus. And so it that's what really set me on that path to be eventually be where I'm at now, over 30 years working as a missionary.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I have to think about that one a bit. But I do remember just the care of a local church reaching out to people who are on base. Because when you're, like I said, I was at a training base for tech school, and you're there for a short time. You're not with your home church. You don't maybe don't know anybody there. You're feeling you can feel very alone, especially early on in your military career and in those training places, because you're not with where you finally will be stationed. So just having something where people who you know love you and care for you, and there's no ulterior motive, because I think that's what some people have with the chaplaincy or others. They presume there is an ulterior motive to just love on people. And I think when they see churches and quote unquote good people reaching out and loving them, that's great, because sometimes they get the bad reputation in town because they are out drinking at the bars and doing stuff. And so they see people pulling away from them and they're like, these are the people we are here to serve. Absolutely. Why are they pulling away from us? And when you see the church lean in and care and love for those people, that just speaks volumes.
I agree with you. And the way to every soldier's heart is through his stomach of the time.
So make some food and go grab a soldier.
That's right. Make some food and buy free food that is not base food. Well, I was in the Air Force, so our chow wasn't too bad. But anyway.
Yeah, right.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for being with us on 1514, and thanks for the work that you're doing both with Free Burma Rangers and with Cadence.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And special thanks to our team who helped make this podcast possible. My assistant, Rebecca Mullins, helps coordinate these interviews, and our podcast engineer, Caleb Lau, does a great job editing and putting everything together. We look forward to you joining us next time.